The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Doctrine of the Old Sin Nature, page 1. Preliminary considerations. All right. One's attitude determines how well one is going to do with regard to anything that they engage in. Bad mental attitude doesn't get you there. The right mental attitude is, I'm here to learn. I'm here to be refreshed. I am here to have doctrine repeated to me, because repetition is one of the keys to understanding any topic. So let's prepare ourselves in the usual way. Rebound, as we have just been studying, is before you, and concentration on the information at hand under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know from your word that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We are here to choose the path of life and life more abundantly, through acclimation to your plan as believers and reaping eternal life through the intake and application of your word. We recognize that this is a very important topic for us to understand and to recognize the enemy within. Be with us now in our study, in Christ's name. Amen. Throughout this study, a distinction must be made between the living soul and the brain processes, or the central nervous system. The living soul, which we have described as the real you, is an entity which is invisible but real, and cannot be destroyed by human means. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him," God, of course, "who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell," or Gehenna, the lake of fire. Because for the body to be factored in, they have to be incarcerated into the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. The brain or central nervous system acts as a computer to interpret impulses from the five senses, and upon command send out impulses causing the body to act or react. The brain is made up of sophisticated biochemicals called dust in the Bible. "Then the Lord formed man of the dust of the earth." To the uninformed, this sounds real quaint and just some kind of Hebrew story. But it is the actual means by which God pulled together out of the dust all of the chemical elements that make up the physical body, and put this all together. In other words, the body of Adam wasn't created ex nihilo, out of nothing. It was created out of something, the dust of the earth. You and I, overtly, are dust. Dust to dust. In death, the body goes back to dust. The body is to be viewed as a house, a genetically made house that houses the real you, the soul, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives. And the man became a living soul. He wasn't until he got his soul. And that was breathed or plugged in through his nostrils. So it is related to the brain and the living soul, the nostrils, the neshama. 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first man became a living soul. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Remember him, that's God. The wrap-up of Ecclesiastes. Remember him before the silver cord is broken. Poetic language that deals with something real. The silver cord is broken. This is the point of contact or interface between the soul and the brain at the location of the higher brainstem. Now, no one can see this with any instruments. We just know from the Bible that we are more than just a biological machine. And the golden, continue here. And the golden bowl is crushed. That's the brain. That's the poetic reference to the human brain in the Bible. The golden bowl. It gets the gold thing because gold's considered at the top of precious metals. And it is an essential part of your anatomy. It's where you store information, spiritual information, other information. But the golden bowl is broken, crushed rather, and that means it's shut down at death, however death comes. The pitcher by the well is shattered. A pitcher holds content, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. This is another poetic description of something physiologically. The heart and circulatory system shuts down. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. Decomposition of the body in the grave. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. The living soul comes by an act of creation at physical birth again, and God created. And when we have that in Genesis 1:27 versus what we saw in 2:7, and God created, sixth day of restoration, man in his own image. Those of you who have been here are familiar with what this means. The soul reflects divine essence. It has self-consciousness, self-awareness, conscience, and so forth. And volition, free will. Free will resides in your soul, not in your body as such. And God created, bara, man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Sixth day, establishing humanity on the earth. The physical body comes into existence via procreation, following the laws of genetics, etc. Psalm 139:14, I will give thanks to you, for I am respectfully, some translations fearfully, but the idea here is God created us respectfully. He didn't make freaks out of us. Our creation is respectful and wonderfully made. Hebrews 10:3, referring to Christ's humanity. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, a body you have prepared for me. Who's speaking? His deity. A body you have prepared for me. And Ecclesiastes 11:5, just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman. So, you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. We are from the womb, facsimiles of Adam, in the fallen state, possessing a body and a soul. We are therefore, by implication, no better and no worse than Adam. All this craziness talking about making transhuman. Machine and human, all that mess they're playing with. Variations are allowed under the laws of genetics, but the body follows a fixed mode for all of us. C is critical to rightly divide the word of truth and to correctly understand Bible anthropology, doctrine of man, to know that volition resides in the soul and not in the brain. As God possesses volition, called sovereignty, so man, created in his image, possesses free will. This is academic, but this is important, that you have these things formulated in your thinking. None of this could have happened through the false science of evolution. Evolution should be shot down at every kind of level. There's just too much against it. Again, it is a theory. A theory that is bad in every way. Given enough time, over billions of years, all these life forms can develop on their own, when many of them are interdependent on each other. And there are no transitional states. What you have in your body, speaking to that, has to come full-blown. Full-blown. No piecemeal operation. Or as one author calls it, a scientist, a biologist, who does not agree with the theory of evolution, he calls it irreducible complexity. That's what ought to be taught in schools. If you want a theory, it has to work. This doesn't work. Now, whoever you subscribe to putting this in place, that's another matter. But it was put into place by God. You know, that's why, of all the books in the Bible, the one that is arguably the most attacked is Genesis. It's the foundation of the Bible. It's the one under most attack. Try to debunk that and then sell the human race on all this craziness in the name of high science, institutionalized. I read where in India, the country of India, they banned the teaching of evolution in the lower grades. India. Now, they can teach it in college if they want to. I was told that there was a superintendent of schools somewhere in Florida who told his teachers, specifically those who taught biology, that they, if they're going to teach evolution, they have to teach it as a theory. Period. Not as fact. There's a lot of difference between fact and theory. Theory is something someone makes up and cannot be proven in this instance. You can't prove this theory. Now you say, well, you're just believing this the Bible by faith. That's right. That's what I believe everything else about. But this one makes the most sense because of the irreducible complexity principle. I forgot the name of the author, his name, but if you want to read the book, it's a good read. It's called Darwin's Black Box. It might be in our library. I think it is. You could pick it up at your local library. He shows how things like the blood coagulating when you cut yourself so you don't bleed to death unless you have some special condition. But normal people don't bleed to death. And all the factors that have to be in place, remove one of them, and there's no coagulation. Our God did this. He is able to create what wasn't there and put it here perfectly so that every cell, for instance, in your body and every other organism must have programming. We all understand that from a computer. Buy a new computer, set it over in the corner, plug it in, no programming, it's worthless. There has to be software. There has to be programming. So what all the different cells in your body do to serve you They are programmed to do that. This could never happen over any amount of time you might want to give it by chance just happening. This is so satanic and stupid to boot. It's beyond stupid what people... You say, why do people believe it then? Because they don't want God in their thinking. That's all I can conclude. They want a naturalistic, mechanistic way that these things happen rather than what divine word, the Word of God says. That's the battle we're in. But we're going to win. Because the wisdom of the wise is going to be exposed for the fakery that it indeed is. Volition, free will. That's one of the things they want to put under attack today. They don't like freedom. They don't like free will. They want to control us all and put us all in a box. No child left behind. Yeah, I know what that means. Sounds real good, doesn't it? No child left behind. Government school. Where everyone's expected to believe the party line. No deviation, nothing. No questioning these things that are sacrosanct. Jeffrey, over high, it was one of the schools, it might have been junior high, it doesn't matter. His biology teacher, after everyone left the room, you know, had that stupid picture going from an ape up to a human. Post that on the wall for kiddos. And a bunch of these people are fundies, and they go to fundy churches. I'll bet. It's pretty heavily influenced around here with that. And Jeffrey said to her, "Do you believe that?" Pointed at picture. She looked sheepishly. "But you got to teach it, don't you?" "I probably have to teach it as fact. I wouldn't go near it. Personally. I'd figure out another subject to teach." Volition is evidenced by every third-class condition, every subjunctive mode, every alternative, believe or not believe, imperatives and rebukes for unbelief in believers and unbelievers. All human sinning is an act of volition, known or unknown. The soul who sins dies. That is a great chapter, Ezekiel 18. Any of you wanting to just read through Ezekiel probably will hit chapter 1 and give up the ghost. Be patient. It is crazy. I mean, I don't mean crazy like crazy. But it is, what is this? I'm just being honest. It isn't something that just falls in your lap. But anyway, as you read through Ezekiel, if you were to read the 18th chapter, it is really an excellent chapter featuring volition. I'm not going to do it this evening. You got to do homework once in a while. You know, I can spoon feed you all the time, and I don't mind doing that. But you eventually have to pick your Bible up and turn off that stupid TV. I mean, really. It's an operation to deceive you. And they do it subtly, too. I mean, not always subtly, but they do it. It's real subtle stuff. Watch a cop show. Kicking in a door. No search warrant. It just flies past people. I guess that's okay. It isn't okay. I don't care if the worst monsters are behind that door. Then you have a police state. And they can come after anything they want. We're supposed to be different. Yeah. We are on paper. We aren't in practice too much anymore. Things have gone south. Badly. But that's a great chapter to read, documenting free will, if you ever have any question about it. Talks about the righteous man, if he stays righteous. But if he goes away, he goes away. And it's all in there. It's really good on that. Clinically, it has been demonstrated that volition and consciousness reside outside the brain. Which is, see, and occasionally people do some good science. They really do. Which has been demonstrated, which is substantiated by the Word of God. awareness of life after death. How could that be? Because the soul travels, in the case of the story of Luke 16, to paradise or into Hades. Two Jews, one named and one named because one just a rich man. Another rich man bites the dust. And Lazarus, the pathetic beggar, he's in paradise. He wasn't positive. He was under the sin unto death. But he goes to phase three and he's comforted. He isn't made to be miserable because you were a loser up here. Yes, he was. But that isn't in his face. That's grace. The rich man lifts up his soulish eyes in hell. He's able to talk. I don't know how that works. I honestly don't. This is seen in Penfield's Mystery of the Mind book. Gave you two books you can look at. Conclusion. The soul comes from God, perfect and sinless, via creation at birth. The confusion for some, maybe, in this is that the sin nature is in the soul. It is not. It is not in the soul. You subtract the soul from the body, and there's no sin nature. It dies with the rest of it. The soul is plugged into the brain computer throughout life. The soul is to the brain what a programmer is to a computer. The problem exists with the programmer. The real you becomes enslaved to the computer, if you will, if I can use the analogy, and I can. Romans 6:6, that we should no longer be slaves of the sin nature. Just pushed around, run around, under it all the time as some kind of a big bully system of running your life and thinking. The soul constitutes the real you. The body's the outer you. The sin nature's the old you. And then there's a new you. That's the human spirit and the buildup of doctrine, the inner man, related to the human spirit. That's not the subject here, but it's just for everybody to get a handle on it briefly. So the soul constitutes the real you since it survives death and it's where all decisions are made, good or bad. Romans 9:11. For though the twins were not yet born, Esau and Jacob, though the twins were not yet born and not had done anything good or bad, they came into the world just the same. The soul of the believer dictates to the brain computer to produce either sin or righteousness. The former state puts the sin nature in rulership of life, while the latter implies the rulership of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let the sin nature reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. He focuses on that aspect of the sin nature where the lust pattern is. There's other things that technically aren't related to lust. Lust covers the basic areas that people lust after. Materialism, money lust, sex lust, power lust, approbation lust. And you probably suffer from one of these in one degree or another. Unless, of course, you don't have a lust pattern. And then I don't know who you are. You could go out here and play like you're an ascetic and give up everything. Maybe it's approbation. Look at me. That's what some people are with their approbation trend. That's why they like to be the one that's the center of any conversation. They like to take it over. Notice this about some. Then come up, people having a conversation. Next thing you know, they're directing everything about themselves. Is that approbation? You have to figure that out. So approbation's a big deal. Real big deal. Look at me. And you can also throw in wanderlust. That's a subcategory. Some people can't stay in one place. They got to be moving around. A rolling stone. Romans 8:4, who do not walk according to the flesh. That's a decision. I'm not going to go with the flesh on this one. But according to the Spirit. That's a whole new system of operation. Being led by and prompted by and directed by the indwelling, filling Holy Spirit. So the issue for man in the angelic conflict, which started with the fall of Satan, because God put free will in all those angels. What was he thinking? We already knew what was going to happen. Does that make God guilty? No. He put them in existence, and a group of them, led by Lucifer, sinned, and I'm sure they knew better, but they did it anyway. So the idea is to reprogram the soul, because we pick up all this junk along the way. I mean, even if we're, and that's, it's nice to be raised in a solid Christian home. If you're one of those, you can thank God every day for that one. But you still have stuff to cough up. You still got a sin nature that operates. And you're still exposed to stuff out here. And I'm not saying you have to be a hermit and live somewhere and avoid it all. You can't. People have tried these different things to fight the sin nature. Monastic life, extreme asceticism. It doesn't work. They're kidding themselves. So there's the way to find a way to help deal with this. There's a lot of little hints and things to help you and I if we want to be helped. Romans 8:4. Oh, I gave you that. All right. So the issue for man, the angelic conflict, is to overrule the brain-computer part by reprogramming him with divine viewpoint. Psalm 48, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Psalm 119:11, your word I have laid up in my heart that I may not sin against you. And I guarantee I'm not going to. But the more you have this, and truly have it, and think about it, and rejoice in it, you're going to help yourself a lot in this regard. There's a bunch of synonyms for the STA. Not all of them are direct synonyms, but this list is designed to just give you an overview. Sin in the singular, with or without the definite article. I'm not going to look up all these verses. Body of sin. There you go. Body of sin. That's a phrase. Romans 6, 6b. Corruptible man. One could argue that's because we have the aging gene. But anyway, corruptible man. That certainly adds to it. I think it does. The primary focus here is the sin nature in humanity without the divine input to deal with it. Body of death. The law of sin and death. See, there's a law here. Flesh, of course. Fleshly mind. Carnal. Mortal body. Old man. Corruptible seed. Wretched man that I am. Paul is actually in that Romans 7 deal. Evil, a part of the policy of Satan. Involving yourself in personal sin at any time is an expression of evil. Now, there's obviously different degrees of evil. Not all evil is created equal. Body of humiliation, body of corruption, iniquity. And I will look that one up because, again, David knew the doctrine of the sin nature. 51:6. This has a header. This psalm arose out of event for the choir director. Choir director? Yeah, in the temple and in the Jewish singing. The Psalm of David. This is when he got busted. He was trying to cover up his sin. And it was a big sin. Monster sin, as we well know. When Nathan, the prophet, came to him. You think you're going to cover up when you have a house prophet? That's how God used it to bust him. There was a lot of talk, no doubt, in the shadows in his palace home. Because he had a lot of servants, but they're not going to go screaming around. But a prophet, he's got a job to do. After he had gone into Bathsheba, and a part of this was a song, by the way. Really? Yeah. A song? David, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loyal love. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. It's a rebound deal. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only I have sinned. Someone could argue with that. Didn't he sin against the guy he had killed? Didn't he sin against whoever? And done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, he goes back to, I was brought forth in iniquity. This is referring to his birth. Now, he was not an illegitimate child by any stretch. He was the seventh son of his married parents. His father's name was Jesse. They were married. So, there wasn't anything there. He said, I was brought forth in iniquity. I came into the world with sin nature. And in sin, my mother conceived me. Really? There was no sinfulness involved in the conception of David because his parents were married. No sin at all. There's no sin in sex when people are married. It's only when they're not. Behold, you desire truth in the inner being. And in the hidden part, you make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. That has to go back to the symbolism in the hyssop and the sprinkling thing. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. That's a recurring theme in there. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Get me back on track in every way, spiritually. See, praying beyond just rebound. Get me fully back on track because this was a big hit on him. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Under that dispensation and how he needed the Holy Spirit to function as a king. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain within me a willing spirit. Then I will teach others your ways and sinners will be converted to you. I'll go back to being a communicator as he was. And so forth. And, oh, by the way, he had another sin, didn't he? I mean, there's a bunch of associated sins, lying, cover up, all that. But the two big sins, the deliver me from blood guiltiness. That's murder. David killed a lot of people in his life. He sent them into the afterlife, but that wasn't murder. That was in warfare. Oh God, the God of my salvation, then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Okay, so there's that. The origin of the STA in mankind. Adam, the federal head of the human race, is the source of the STA, Genesis 2:3. Adam at the outset was perfect in body and soul, as was Eve, since God is not the sponsor of sinful trends, sin, or temptation. He is God is not the hands-on creator of the sin nature. There were just two different things, and when they were combined by the volition of Adam, the sin nature came into it. The woman first, then the man, developed a trend away from God. This trend was not sinful. In other words, what I mean by that is, first of all, she was careless. She wasn't completely on top of what she needed to be on top of spiritually as a result of her exposure to teaching during those years leading up to her her seduction by Satan, her spiritual seduction. Like I said before, God did not put them in the garden to fail. But yet God knew they would fail. Okay, he knows what you're going to do, what everyone's going to do. He knows what people are going to do, which way they're going to jump, given whatever. He obviously knows that. But he's not responsible for people jumping the wrong way. So in the garden, a responsible communicator warns people of things that may or will come to pass. Like, do you think they were just in there for those years? Because they weren't just put in the garden and don't eat of the tree. And he met with them daily in the cool of the evening and taught them. They had face to face, as it were, with the Lord in the Yahweh in the garden. Then they had, therefore, God doesn't put you under something that you're not prepared for. So if you're teaching them anything, what are you teaching them? Well, it's not necessary to teach them the way of salvation because they don't need to be saved. That'll be for later. But what they needed to know about was the enemy. And that the enemy would show up in some way, in some form. To what degree and detail he went into, of course we don't know. She didn't take that to heart fully. You say, well, if my pet starts talking to me, I'm running out of the room. I'm getting rid of it. It's possessed. Dogs don't talk. Reptiles don't talk. You say, mine does. I know exactly what my dog's thinking. But if they start telling you to eat that fruit, and you've already been told and given a singular commandment, you can enjoy all the trees in this garden. The trees are just pretty to look at. The trees that have luscious fruit on them. And the tree that's in the center of the garden, the centerpiece, the tree of lives, they could have eaten of that fruit all they wanted. They already had life. They couldn't have done anything with that. But there's this other tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was also in the garden. You can look at it. You can hug it. You can lay under its shade. But you can't ingest its fruit. See, Satan played that game when he came in there. God said you couldn't touch it. She should have known he was playing games. Now you can touch the fruit. Smell it. You don't eat it. Because if you ingest it, in the day you do, dying you will die. That was the big step Eve took. She didn't confer with her husband. Do you think this is a good idea, honey? He's out doing whatever. See, Satan, that's the way he works. He works on the weak link. He works on the weak link. And he takes something that is familiar to you that you like. How could a woman like a serpent? Well, it wasn't a serpent. It was a reptile that was turned into a serpent. Don't ask me. She just liked, they were harmless, and so that was the pet in the garden. Satan will work on you through someone possibly close to you. Something close to you. He's good at this. So I have warned you, as your spiritual leader, if someone comes whispering the wrong stuff he's such a nice person. So nice. Well, what do you expect? He's going to come in like that, you're an idiot. And so you run the other direction. He'll compliment you. Well, now, I've seen this. I've seen it. I know how it happens. Anybody ever call you on the phone and try to work on you? Maybe it wasn't the phone. Maybe it was some face-to-face. Maybe it was email. I don't know. It's irrelevant. Did you do what I told you to? Bam! Don't call me again. Do not call me. So if someone around you is contradicting what is clearly put in front of you, you need to make a wide berth and cut them off your social register and everything else. You don't get that, huh? They will work on you as long as they think they can. And it's happened before. It's happened before in this church over and over. I've seen them. Somebody say something. Well, Jack, I think maybe you ought to reconsider John 10. What? And the person that said it, you didn't come up with that, did you? You didn't come up, and now you're doubting the whole idea. Someone else planted this in you. And someone else of stature at one time in this church planted that in you, right? Yeah, I know a couple things. I know how they play games. Satan comes as an angel of light, sweetness and light. He doesn't always come as a roaring lion. That's where it's a frontal attack, and they're trying to, you know, that's another thing. They're not making any bones about that they're against you. But when they do this other one, someone who is familiar, I'm just warning you, or you'll have your fall, and you'll go with that person and their ideas. Eventually, you need to stand up to things. Or not. You got volition. People say, you got volition. Well, yeah, big deal. You got volition. What's that supposed to mean? I have volition. Yeah, and that's why you're acting like a jerk. Because you got volition? Act right. Act like you're supposed to. The trend was converted into a sinful trend when they committed the first sin of mankind. The sin is known as Adam's original sin, and the trend is known as the old sin nature. The original sin, eating of the tree, came from volition apart from the old sin nature. By choosing for the knowledge of good and evil, Adam chose a new ruler of life, the STA, though he didn't understand any of that in any detail. He hadn't been around sin. This sin entered into the garden with this possessed serpent, reptile. So at the point of the fall, major developments occurred. Satan became the ruler of the world through the STA. The forbidden fruit ingested resulted in a genetic alteration, altering the DNA, that resulted in an old sin nature and an aging gene, and the STA became the ruler of life. Well, they got themselves in a real mess one day in their lives. The only difference between the sin of the two was the woman was deceived. She didn't need to be, but she let her guard down. She let her guard down. Though they had never seen and been tempted and had anything going on, they needed to have their guard up. And that was what Yahweh had taught them. He's not going to stand by them every minute. Don't do that. He gives us volition and we're out there and that comes to us. So, that was to be the test. The human race would have went down a completely different path, and we wouldn't be talking about Satan and his angels to any degree right now, because they would have all been, because they're already called on the carpet. They're already put under a death sentence, if you will. But the sentence was executed because apparently Satan made an appeal, and so God set this thing up. And here we are. Wow. So the major developments occur. Satan is the ruler of this world. You've heard this a million times in Maranatha, but you don't know the degree to which he's got his hooks in people. It should be a lot obvious. The human race out there by itself doesn't have a snowball's chance in the lake of fire. Because he can peddle all kinds of stuff and he's got by with it. Not everybody buys all of his stuff, but they buy this or buy that all down the road. False religion, false science, all of it. It's not a surprise that so many people are into this. Billions bought into Islam. Billions bought into Buddhism. And all these other isms. The only way you can come out of it, whatever your society and whatever you were raised in, Catholic, you name it, is positive volition in the midst of a mess. I can speak from experience. I had no religious upbringing, good or bad. None. The only religious exposure I had was my elect to go to church with somebody. Or they let us out of school on a Monday at noon so we could go to whatever church we wanted to. And I was searching. So I went to a liberal church. I guess it was liberal. Church of Christ. Not the one out here that you can lose your salvation in. Not that one. God delivered me from that. It was, you could go there and be a Baptist, Methodist, or Presbyterian. Yeah, of course. United Church of Christ, that's what it was called. And my frustration with that and becoming cynical, teach me something. I don't want feel-good stuff about whatever. Teach me something about God and His Word or something, if that's what it is. Don't just read the Scripture and then run away over here and do this stuff. And then have a sock hop in your basement. I don't know if you know what a sock hop is. You know? So you know, it's like, I can go to a sock hop here in Hot Springs. I can go down here to the hall where they bring in Jerry Lee Lewis and Chubby Checker. Boy, that dates me, doesn't it? and all the sins of the youth down there. Like taking our dad's car out and drag racing, just like in the movie, you know. American Graffiti. Get out there on the road. Okay, got your dad's brand new car. Got it lined up. Got a kid down there. He was going to wave the thing. God delivered me. And these kids came to Hot Springs from all over the place. And we were a small 5,000 people. They came from Rapid City. They came from everywhere. And we had a big dance hall. And then I tried the Catholic Church. That didn't commend itself. Again, you didn't teach me anything. We'll go to catechism. I'll try. Nothing. That one I just turned away from. This just doesn't make sense. To sit there for an hour and hear someone spew forth Latin and wave some stinky stuff in the air. I wouldn't even bow my knee walking in there and take the water out of the deal, you know, the holy water, suppose it. I wouldn't do any of it. I had to know what was going on first. So that wasn't for me. I had a bad taste in my mouth. So God had to drag me off to St. Louis. What a switch. And stick me in a Baptist church in a junior in high school where I finally got the gospel. Enough of it that I could become a believer. So, you know, you look at your history and you see how God's hand's in it, but that's another story. Satan became the ruler of the world, genetic STA. See, this is a thing that it took me time. I had a member of my church back in the day said to me something, and I didn't dismiss it in absolutism. I retained what the person said. I didn't agree with it, but I didn't dismiss it. There's a difference. And the person said, I think there was something in that fruit, Jack. So I'm thinking, how can eating a piece of fruit change you chemically, biochemistry and all that? It can. Now I know that they're trying to, you can mess with DNA and change it for the worse. Through a substance. And so that fruit by itself was innocent enough, but you combine it in the human body and you get an STA and an aging gene. Wow. And that is how they wound up with it. So the STA is the ruler of life. All right, I will let you go. And, by the way, what's the deal? Oh, Sunday, We'll have one session. Don't say, well, I'm not coming at all. We'll have one session. We'll have a parent-teacher's meeting and a deacon's meeting. But there's also a Wednesday night, so be here for Wednesday. I was getting ahead of myself, but I wanted to point that out in case I would have forgot it. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.